keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, Nashville. I guess I should be paying attention, right, instead of yakking, right?
The show in between the shows.
Pastor has his sons in here now.
Yeah, this is going to be great. They're going to go on.
My three sons.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a microphone. It may not be a church mic, but you know what?
No, it's not a church mic. It's
not a church mic, but it's a microphone.
Yeah, definitely. And how old are the boys? Because I know mom's listening.
Yeah, so my oldest son, Luke, he's 10.
Okay.
This is my second son, Landon, he's 9.
Okay.
And Logan's my youngest, and he's 6.
And Logan's in charge.
Yes, he is.
He said, now I'm going to sit here and you sit over there. And this son here, he's going to be the fix-it man.
Yeah.
He's been trying to fix that mic how it would work for him. Because I've been watching all this.
You've been watching?
Yeah, because I got a granny eye, okay, on the left. I see stuff. Uh-huh. And I said, okay, and this quiet man right here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quiet social butterfly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? You see the children, and, you know, it's a blessing to see and have, you know, mm-hmm. new life, new generation.
Yeah.
There must be a lot of challenge for you as a pastor to juggle 3 kids and a congregation.
It is. Yeah.
Go and testify. I know it's coming.
You know, even this week it was rough. They all had a project. They had a Bible project at their school that was due. It was seriously intense. We were up to like some ungodly hours just trying to work with them to get it done. And so just my wife works full time as well. And so just
What's
trying.
What's her name?
My wife's name is Valerie.
Hey, Reed. Valerie.
Hey.
is she... Can I say first lady? Is that incorrect?
Yeah, that's fine.
First
lady's fine.
First lady. Hey. Because, I mean, you know, you guys might call something different.
Yeah. No, that's fine. You know, when we moved from Chicago, all our family is there. And so we had an incredible amount of help. So moving here caused us to really, her mom would come and help us during the week. So it's just us. And so we're just trying to navigate that.
Oh, yeah.
Get them to school, pick them up, and, you know, have meetings. And you know how church life is. It's just it's hectic.
But, you know,
so we're working through it, though.
Yeah. Well, the boys seem to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Classic, typical boys.
Yeah.
They get the inchworms. All the kids come in the studio, they get the inchworms. You know, the chairs that go around and stuff, mm-hmm. they get the inchworms. Everybody, whenever there's any kids, including my own grandkids,
mm-hmm.
if I have them in here for whatever purpose,
mm-hmm.
they all start this one. You know, they do the whirl in the chair and all that, mm-hmm. and they do the inchworms. But I imagine for them to be quiet this long, it's going to be an amazing feat. Father.
It is. Well, they're intrigued by everything, so they're good. They're going to be fine. Yeah. Now, he wants to say something more than anything, but they're enjoying it, so they'll be fine.
I'm going to let them talk a little bit later before we go on the before we leave this morning.
Yeah.
Now, I want to get back to what we were beginning to discuss mm-hmm. on the top of the hour,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and you were talking about your outreach and the work that you're doing
mm-hmm.
that you will hope to do with the homeless.
Yeah.
What's your assessment of what you see? I noticed it has been an increase. To me, I see an increase in Nashville.
That I definitely see that. It's very strong. You know, almost on every corner, you're seeing a lot of, you know, homeless people. But our church is really committed to that. Actually, every month, we go and we feed the homeless, and we mm-hmm. go to the men's shelters, the women's shelters.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very actively engaged in that. But definitely seems to be a chronic problem that's here in Nashville. And I'd be really interested in, you know, seeking to see how we can solve that. I know in Chicago, they found that a lot of the health mm-hmm. issues that homeless people are facing when they come mm-hmm. to the hospital, they decided to actually invest money from the hospital to put them in housing. And they realized that getting them into housing actually reduced them. It actually cut the hospital cost. They actually started seeing they were less likely to come to the hospital to seek medical attention. And so they actually put a program
together. So getting out of the elements.
Yeah, getting out of the elements is like a key thing, and committing that to them, committing resources in that regard is actually a cost saver if you look at it from an economic standpoint.
Well, that seems like it would make a lot of sense, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because being in the frigid cold and laying on the ground and exposing yourself to all kinds of germs and dirt and et cetera would not be very healthy.
Yeah.
And would be a drain of resources.
Yeah, yeah.
So you all discovered that in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was listening to a podcast, and that's when I heard, I was like, wow, that's, because I've always wrestled with how do you solve the homeless problem issue. And when I heard that, I could see, you know, I would love to see if we could do something like that here in Nashville.
That would be phenomenal. Yeah. But I hear some people that will be saying already, don't be using my government money to help nobody. I mean, I can already hear complainers.
Well, actually, the hospital took their actual resources. So the hospitals actually got people, I guess, to donate, and they did, you know, kind of partnered with some folk. Yeah. So it wasn't government funds to do that.
Yeah.
But the hospital has to, of course, has to be willing to commit those type of resources.
How many people did that impact?
You know, I'm not totally sure the numbers, the actual numbers, but they're actually, it was quite a few people that were, you know, involved in that program and are seeing success, you know,
Did they involve the community of faith, or they just?
Yeah, they did. I believe it was a combination of not only the hospital administration, uh-huh. but they involved pastors and different community leaders. So it was a, you know, consortium. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. So you thinking about maybe that might work here in Nashville?
I think so. I think if it worked there, I just probably need to sit down with the right people at the right time and talk about it. Yeah.
When are you going to start it? Because it's getting ready to get cut. It's cold outside.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see a growing number of people just,
yeah,
they're just everywhere, and they have nowhere to go.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, I would like to, you know, connect with some of the ministers, start there, you know, probably before the end of the year, and at least begin the conversation, you know, because I think it's, we need to have it. We need to seek to address it.
Yeah. Because I heard a soundbite on a news story, I think it was, just recently, that one of the local TV stations went out, and when it got brutally cold, was it last week or whenever it was? Mm-hmm. And when the question came, why won't y'all, even though it's below zero or at zero or 15 or 10, why will you not go in the shelter? Mm. And the homeless person's response was, it's like going to jail.
Wow.
So, I mean, I was like, what a, that was, you know.
Yeah.
That was too much.
Yeah.
When I heard that, I'm like, jail? Yeah. What is it about that experience that's making people feel like jail?
Yeah. You know, we do at our church, we call Room at the Inn. We partner. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yes,
so,
I have.
So when we actually, when they bring, I remember one night, I sat down and talked to the person, and, and he told me what some of the shelter's experience is like. He says it is a lot of it, just from a sanitary standpoint, just the environment, everybody, it's a very volatile situation. And I think that you're limited in terms of what you can do, but you're crowded in. And so he says, really, they prefer to come to churches like Room at the Inn because they feel like they're treated better. It's safer than to go to the actual shelter sometime
because it's just too many people,
just the environment, the mindset of people, and he pointed out the cleanliness. In a lot of ways, he just felt like, I don't want to be,
I'm homeless, but I don't want to be in,
which was interesting to me. That was deep to me.
Yeah, it really, really is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, knowing that you've heard that and other kinds of conversations with the people, then what kind of thing you think would the proposal would you like to see for Nashville to move this issue forward?
You know, I would probably propose maybe a conversation with the hospital administrators and pastors. And I would like to, I would say, letting them know what they did in Chicago and how it worked. You know, presenting that information, that data, see how they did it, how it's working for them.
Yeah.
You know, I would probably start with that, but in a conversation with pastors. So I'm new here, so I don't know all the community leaders and all of those things, but I think getting a clear proposal, sitting down with some pastors and hospital administrators and community leaders, I think that we could begin to, you know, probably possibly craft a plan of how we can take care of that.
Well, and in your mind, how long do you see something like this taking?
Well, I guess it all depends on buy-in. In terms of actual implementation, I think if people see it and they can see how it could work for them, you know, I think this could happen by next year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's possible. But again, I don't know all the details, the political dynamics, you know, those things.
There's a bunch.
Yeah.
Because there's task forces and community organizations and groups that meet to discuss this issue. But I don't see and hear a lot of what they've done.
Yeah,
they've done the meetings and, okay, what's next, you know.
I think they probably, I don't know to what degree what they're aware of, but I think hearing about and seeing where something was actually done and it worked
and
out,
it's effective.
And it's effective, I think, if they see that.
So there was a restoral process that actually took place in within these people.
Yeah. No, these people actually, not only did they get them in the house, but their life, the quality of life started to change. They started to get it, jobs and things of that nature. So, yeah. Yeah. Well, so it's a total rehab process, you know.
Amen. Yeah. And let's alone the fact that some of them might have found a relationship with the Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And they did not put them in public housing, but they
actually built some houses.
Oh, wow.
Them. Yeah. And put them in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. They land hungry in Nashville. I don't know. You know, I'm trying to think now. Let's see. Because all the developers have everything, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And affordable housing is one of the top issues of this area anyway.
Wow. Yeah.
Because the need is just so great.
So great. Yeah.
And the cost of living here is so high right now.
Yeah. My wife and I, when we were moving here, we thought it wasn't going to be so high. We were shocked.
Well,
it wasn't.
Wow. Yeah, it wasn't.
But back in the day.
As soon as they put the word "it" city on it, it's changed everything. So y'all can take that off. Yeah. Because it's done messed up everybody's mind. Mm-hmm. And even people who, you know, make decent money are having a hard time making the dollar stretch, you know. And for us, you know, it's not like we're getting more because everything has gone up and for absolutely no reason other than the status of Nashville. Anyway, so where would you think someplace in Nashville would be a good place for
to build this, something like that? Well, I'm still fairly new to the area, so, you know, I'd probably have to get advice from the people that actually live here where that would be.
Yeah.
I think you want to keep it local. I mean, I think you want to keep it in the city because that's where they are. They can have access
closer to
transportation.
The inner city.
Yeah, yeah, you know, not far from the inner city, you know, where they can still use transportation, public transportation, and do the things that they need to do. So
yeah.
I don't know where that would be because I don't know the exact layout, but yeah.
Yeah, because this is what everyone wants, to be closer to the downtown.
Town. Yeah,
and you know, and I have on my show on a regular basis, Pastor Rudy Rasmus down in Houston, and his church early on bought some land because they're in the inner city down there, and I guess he's blessed and highly favored to have Beyonce in this church, okay? So, I mean, that helps. And her family. But they bought some land and built apartments that are named after the Knowles family.
Wow.
And specifically for that population.
Wow.
In the center of downtown.
Wow.
And he said, you know, he said on the show before, when I've had him on, that rocked some people's world because they wanted to turn that into high rises and all that other stuff. And he was, you know, following what the Lord said for him to do.
Yeah.
And that was to help these folks at the community level that didn't have anywhere to stay. So that would be phenomenal for Nashville.
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
Because if you just drive around and through, and now homeless is not just downtown. The people are all over.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know where I was. I was way past Nashville.
Exactly.
Somebody was on the corner.
Yes.
And I said, wow.
Yes.
You know?
In the suburbs.
Yeah, in the suburbs.
And one of the gas stations I go to on the way home, there's a woman and a dog. And all of a sudden she, you know, started being there and sitting outside in the back of the gas station. So, you know, that's going to catch your eye, seeing a woman and a dog. And she got a plastic bag sitting next to her and all that. I was like, wow. And so, you know, a lot of people catch their eye on this and they get disturbed by, you know, just rattles your spirit. And so I was talking to the people that own the store and I asked the lady, how did she end up here? And, you know, what's the deal? You know, because I've given her money and water and different things. And a lot of people stop and give her things, you know. And she said she has nowhere to go. And she was in, there's a lot of homeless people. I didn't even know this. She said that go in the post offices at night because, you know, you got a P.O. box. You can go in and out and sleep in there.
Wow.
Those people that were sleeping.
Wow.
And I was like, do they? I didn't either. I'm like, shut up. She said, and that's where she was.
Uh-huh.
But she had to, she came out of that because it was attracting the wrong, and she felt her safety was an issue.
Yeah.
They were in there sleeping on the floor.
Yeah.
And she wanted to get away from them. Mm-hmm. And to, because I don't know if something happened to her or what. She's an older woman. And because of her age, that's why I was so surprised to see her, you know, on the street.
Wow.
And she said, well, this is the only place that she can sit and be and not have anybody, you know. And I said, that's a terrible place in life to be. Mm-hmm. That really is.
Yeah.
And knowing that people are at that level, Pastor, how do you speak life into them?
Yeah, you know, that's a very good, question. I think letting them know that they are loved not only by God, but they're loved by us, even in that space. I think that's, you know, that it's not their good days or bad days that makes them acceptable to God. And no matter where they are, you know, there's a text that says in Psalms 139, that no matter where we are, that we cannot escape the presence of God, even if we make our bed in hell, that even there, he's there. And so I think letting people know that even in that valley, as dark as that valley is, that Jesus is right there walking with them, holding their hand in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And holding your hand when it's cold outside.
When it's cold outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when he can pull you from some stuff.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
He'd be like, how did I get this blessing? And glad to get it.
Yeah.
Or hopefully they'll recognize what it is.
Yeah.
When they see it.
Yeah.
But it just, you know, when you see the temperature, because I was like, I don't, you know, there's some stuff I've done and could do, but I don't know if 10 degrees I could sit outside.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So when I saw her, the next time I saw her, I asked the lady. Because I, you know, say hi to her and all that kind of stuff, you know. Just because I feel like she must be like the dreg of the earth sitting out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, why don't you go to the shelter? I said, you know, they got some shelter. They got the buses and all will pick you up in the vans. I have a dog. And I love my dog. And they won't let me in with a dog. And I said, that's deep.
Yeah.
That is deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that dog obviously represents family to her.
Yeah.
But that's deep.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And that's where some people are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have no family, no friends. And their pet is all they have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that's a whole nother level of need in the community because there's a lot of folks that are homeless, don't have anything to eat, but they make sure their dog is fed. I mean, that's deep.
Yeah. Really
Anyway, when we come back, from the break, I want to talk about a couple of scriptures that address homelessness.
Okay.
And several of them are in Proverbs.
Okay.
And I know you're familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see what you're thinking about that.
Okay.
If you have a question or comment, our number is 615-329-8810. You want to be in the discussion or have a question for the pastor or are a member of the Hillcrest Nashville family, 615-329-8810. We're taking the break and be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, Independent Agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are 5 times more likely to have hepatitis C, but most people don't know they are infected. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you can still have hepatitis C, a serious liver disease that often has no symptoms. In fact, people can live with hepatitis C for decades without feeling or looking sick. But over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage, liver failure, or even liver cancer. Getting tested is the only way to know if you're infected with hepatitis C. That's why the CDC recommends everyone born from 1945 to 1965 get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments are available that can cure this disease. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
Support for WFSK comes from Kingdom Cafe, located at 2610 Jefferson Street, featuring Southern dining and a pleasant atmosphere. Open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Enjoy favorites like macaroni and cheese, mustard and turnip greens, cornbread, desserts, and so much more. Kingdom Cafe at 2610 Jefferson Street, Nashville.
This Movember, here's to the straggly mustaches, the lopsided ones, the oddly sexy ones, the itchy, patchy, raggedy ones, the peach fuzz ones, the hey, I look good with this ones, the scruffy ones, the black, blonde, red, and gray ones, the ones grown by dad, the ones grown for dad. They all raise awareness, raise funds, start conversations, and save lives. Because whatever you grow, will save a bro. Learn more at Movember.com.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazz Z88. WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Also brought to you by Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And before I reintroduce my guest this morning, I do want to congratulate the 20 years for the Harry Vanderbilt Alliance, Health Alliance. They had their 20th anniversary luncheon this week on Wednesday, and yours truly was the MC there, and it was beautiful and very well and very tasteful event, and just some highly respected health professionals that were in attendance and who have worked not just at the health arena but also at the community advocacy arena. And I was particularly happy to see, you know, the level of community input that was part of that initiative, to look at one table and see Dr. Andre Churchwell, the head of Vanderbilt Hospital, and then to look over to my right and see my community advocates who work at the grassroots community level all be in the same arena was truly a beautiful thing. So great job at the Meharry Vanderbilt Alliance. 20 years of working in the community on the health disparity issues and health issues here in Nashville. Now, Pastor Marlon Reed of Hillcrest Nashville, which is located at
2010 25th Avenue North.
And your service is on Saturday.
Yep, Wednesdays and Saturdays.
What time?
Wednesdays, 6:45, power hour called Recharge. We actually have a noon power hour at 12, and then on Saturdays, 9:45, what we call Sabbath school would be equivalent to Sunday school, and then our services start at 11.
So Sunday is wind down rest.
To some degree, in a large degree, yeah. Like today, yeah. I got a couple of meetings, but yeah, but it's we take it easy more so on Sundays.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we have been primarily focusing this morning on a plaguing problem that is not just impacting locally, it's impacting nationally. Mm-hmm. And the nation is bountifully blessed as this one. Mm-hmm. And a community is bountifully blessed, mm-hmm. as Nashville has been. The homeless population is on the absolute increase, mm-hmm. and has been declared a national crisis in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I mean, so this is, mm-hmm. and LA is a huge place, mm-hmm. with a lot of resources. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people maybe fleeing places like that and coming to cities like Nashville.
Yeah, yeah.
Because just as the population of Nashville has grown for, you know, companies like, corporations like Amazon, et cetera, mm-hmm. it has also grown with other people who have other issues. Mm-hmm. Everybody that's coming here is not to a six-figure job.
Yeah.
Some people are coming here with hopes and dreams. The music industry.
Yeah.
Also with they want to come here because they heard, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. And then they get here and they discover they can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more expensive than what they thought. And then they end up on the streets. Before the break, I mentioned to you, Pastor Reed, that Proverbs was where I wanted to spend a few mm-hmm. moments because mm-hmm. it's rich with scripture on addressing that.
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs 28 and 27, whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. And there are scripture galore that address mm-hmm. that issue. That's just one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is Proverbs a good place to start as you contemplate dealing with this issue?
You know,
among the many places to go.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. Proverbs is right there. It really talks a lot about, you know, the practical implications of what it means to be a follower of God, or mm-hmm. just really to be a human being, mm-hmm. how we're supposed to extend what we receive from God to people in our world. We're supposed to be concerned, as Jesus would say, with the least of these.
Yes. You know,
that is the center. That is the how we respond to the least of these reveals really our commitment and our connection to Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Proverbs 19 gives you, whoever's generous to the poor mm-hmm. lends to the Lord. It's just the thought of that.
I mean,
how do you lend to the man who's got everything? Really?
Yeah.
And he will repay him for his deed.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just if people could spend some time
mm-hmm.
just in the marination of some of these things on how to address
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The issues. You're talking about, as part of your ministry and outreach, tackling a major mm-hmm. issue for Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Take us in that place, Pastor Reed, where you go in your head to be able to get the strength to handle what you're going to have to handle.
Yeah, you know.
You can breathe.
I can
You can. I mean, because I know that's real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I think for me, everything hinges really on that time alone with God. I'll be honest with you. You know, really, you know, you think about Jesus's life. You know, they said that he would spend great all night in prayer, or he would rise a great time before the morning. And so just think about Christ and all that he faced, the demands that were upon him and the ability that he had to actually meet all of these demands.
Sure.
But the secret to his ability to minister to the community at large really was based on that time alone with his Heavenly Father to draw from him the strength that he needed to minister even when people didn't want to be ministered to.
Yeah.
And so I think when I think about the enormity of the task, I realize that, you know, there's so many things that I can't predict will happen. And so the need for me to be really connected with God and have a really clear vision of what this looks like holistically, to think about, you know, how to communicate that vision, how to get people to be personally committed to it, you know, and how to get the right people around the table for the conversation.
Yeah. You know? So, yeah. Since you've only been here not quite a year, mm-hmm. have any other pastors from any other churches or denominations reached over to you where you are over there?
Yeah, you know, when I first got here, I did a funeral. I forget the name of this church. The pastor, we just never connected. But, you know, when I met him, you know, we talked about doing lunch. I was supposed to follow up with him, but schedule, traveling, different things, we never did connect. But so I've had, you know, that pastor in particular, you know, reach out to me and realize I forget the name of the church, you know. But, yeah, so, I mean, I've had a couple people that when I've met them, you know, they're willing to be engaged. Yeah.
It would seem to me, and I ask this question all the time, so it's no pressure on you. Mm. A lot of the pastors that have been on the round table in particular have been in this area over here. There's no North Nashville Collective, per se. I mean, there's the IMF, and I guess for all intents and purposes, it would be a North Nashville Collective. But, I mean, there is no connection.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know y'all got enough on your plate. Yeah. So I get it, okay?
Yeah. Yeah,
but like a blog or email or something.
I think that connects us all together, and we're communicating with one voice or collectively to the community.
We're all overlapping out here.
Yeah,
you know?
We're all doing our own thing. So we I think what you're saying, we need to coordinate more consistently and more collectively, so we have a unified message and presence together as pastors. I think there's a need for that.
Well,
obviously.
Yeah, because you know. Folks don't know each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's the worst part.
Yeah.
You know, we're all right around the neighborhood next door and all this.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And resources are available.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just like Dr. King right now. I have a dream, y'all.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, excuse me. But I just feel that one day, you know, this church on such and such a street and such is around the corner, and you're active and they're active, and y'all ain't never passed each other at the store. You never touched the street. I mean, just had a funeral.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
Okay. Because there's so much that in all the pastors that have been on this show for years, this show been on the air 18, going on 19 years. That's a blessing and a miracle.
Wow.
I've talked to a lot of preachers.
Yeah.
Okay. And this question I asked them all, and I'm like, because y'all have the collective as would have the power, or the ability to share the information or the resources or something. I don't know. I just see these terrible issues that we have.
Yeah.
Plague in the community, violence, and young people stealing cars and different things of that nature. Because everybody goes to y'all.
Yeah.
They go to the community of faith for everything.
We do. We have to collaborate. You know, like you say, one church, we can't handle all of and meet every need. And so it's like, well, hey, Pastor So-and-so, we know he does this.
Right.
And I think there needs to be a coordination of even that, what ministries we provide.
Is it fear that keeps everybody paralyzed?
You know, I don't think it's, you know, I think that may be one level, but I think when you're in your church, the demands and what's going on there are so great that sometimes it's hard to get out of that bubble and reach out and say, let me connect with this person. So I think sometimes we just kind of, it's hard to get out of your church's world or bubble. So I think that's part of it, you know. And then I think there may be some fear there. You know, where will this lead?
Are
they going to take my members? You know, who's going to be in charge? You know, it's just like the disciples. You know what I'm saying? I think those issues are probably there underneath the surface.
Yeah.
You know, that probably is a barrier to some degree.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and part of my mind is saying, well, if thus said the Lord, then, you know. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Because I'm thinking, like, of a church over here off Monroe that I know Bishop very mm-hmm. well. And he was doing a, started a program for summer for the youth that didn't have anywhere to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it just, in conversation, I would ask a couple of the other pastors from the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
had y'all come over or mm-hmm. gone over or done this and that? And at first they didn't, but then later on they started to connect.
Yeah.
And like drop off donations. And I said, mm-hmm. that's what's up.
Yeah.
Okay, when it finally happens, it's, you know.
Yeah.
And that lesson can be passed on
because
you don't ever know.
Yeah, that's true.
And this, I hate to always have people get together only in terms of a crisis
because
that's the only time, you know, we singing kumbayas when they coming up to buy the neighborhood and then everybody's like, well, we need to get together. Well, you should have known each other a little bit prior. So knowing that that's the case, how many churches, denominations are... Churches are in the neighborhood where yours is. A lot, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot. I'm thinking like, man, we've got quite a few. Man, we got a lot. There's a couple churches, just one right across the street from mine.
Across the street.
A community, yeah. So literally, my church is here and they're like just across the street. And then down the block, you have another church over there. And if you go down the block and around the corner, you know what I mean? You'll find another church.
Holy cow.
So we're all very, very close to one another.
Do y'all wave when you see each other?
Hey, how you doing over there? Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of churches.
That's a lot of churches.
Yeah.
That's a lot of churches.
And then when you go back off in the neighborhoods and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I imagine there's probably more back there as well.
Yeah, there. Many of them. House churches, you know, people that are in smaller. So it's quite a bit.
That's a lot of power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And energy.
It is.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm stopping.
Okay. See, that's a burden for you. Yeah.
My brain is going to places.
Okay. Okay.
Cuz I know these issues are constant. Mm-hmm. I've been living in Nashville 33 years. I've been covering this city in the media the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And the same stuff is the same stuff is the same stuff. I'm like, Lord, can we get some resolutions on some things?
Yeah.
Some move the goalpost closer, or can we get closer to it?
Mm-hmm.
We should not still in 2019 be discussing what's going to happen to Jefferson Street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I've been here since 86.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that conversation was going on before then.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We almost 2020.
Yeah.
We stay.
Yeah.
The conversation.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, some stuff is just, Anyway, but I'm certain there's politics and so much of it.
Yeah.
And you'll see.
Yeah.
In Nashville.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna get
I'm
to
get, I'm gonna get to
oh,
see.
Yeah. It's my turf, my area, and stay up out of it. You're gonna see it. Anyway, but you're working for the Lord, and he'll put a hedge bush of protection around mm-hmm. what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that thing with the homeless thing is just beautiful.
Yeah.
I really do. Mm-hmm. Can you keep me posted on that?
I will. I will do that.
Okay.
I will do that. Because, I mean, I'm sure you can help us, too.
I'm certain. Everybody else knows my number, you know.
You can help me connect to all the people I need to connect to.
people know how to get me for public service announcements and church announcements and... Can you blow the horn for me on the radio? But they don't know how to, you know, wish me happy birthday without me posting it on Facebook. They don't know how. I mean, so they know what I'm good for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've been doing it for so long. They don't only see me as that. You know, I know some people now that don't realize other facets of me. Mm-hmm. They just know I need you to get this church announcement for me. Could you take this?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This is the story of Julie Guillot. She's a Leukemia and Lymphoma Society advocate and the mother of a child who battled blood cancer.
Zach was diagnosed with AML, a deadly leukemia, when he was only 5. While the treatment really attacked the cancer, unfortunately, it also attacked his body. Uncontrollable fevers, terrible nosebleeds, and his skin was burned from the inside out. He died at just 9 years old, really from the treatment that was meant to save him.
The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society was founded 70 years ago by parents who also lost their child to cancer. Today, we're pioneering breakthrough treatments for kids with cancer.
We are so close to finding better treatments for kids with cancer. So it's too late to save Zach, but working together, we can save thousands of kids just like him.
Visit lls.org and save a child's life.
There's a place to share the joy of your team winning it all, and a place to share a laugh about skiing and taking a fall. There's a place to share photos of pets or singing in the choir or the time you ate a pepper and your mouth was on fire. But we could all be better at sharing how we're feeling inside. 76% of employees have struggled with at least one issue that affected their mental health. When you share, you're not alone. Ask about your company's emotional health benefits. Visit heart.org/sharing. Brought to you by the American Heart Association.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And in the studio is Pastor Marlon Reed of Hillcrest, Nashville, who is also father of three and husband of, what's First Lady's name?
Valerie.
Valerie. Hey, Valerie. And these lovely young men who have been in the studio with us watching Dad, and I'm going to ask him towards the end of the show, how does he think they're doing, how they think Dad's done this morning. And I don't know if they're paying attention or not, or because they're sitting here with their headphones on, yeah, you know, acting yeah. like they're really engrossed in the conversation. Or else was that Dad said, y'all better not cut up in there. I recognize
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And boys, too. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Lord, yeah. Lord, Lord. Then I got three grown children and 11 grandkids. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't be still in this room this long.
Yeah, they're doing good. They're barely keeping it together, though.
Yeah, so, y'all ain't got long, okay? You ain't got but a few more minutes, and you can let the energy go, because I can just feel that they can't wait to do what boys do. Yeah. Now, before the break, I mean, I mentioned this earlier, but I want to get back to this. Since you're a father, mm-hmm. and you hear all the stories on the news mm-hmm. about teenagers and teenage boys and the violence and the guns and mm-hmm. stealing cars, like candy bars, really.
Yeah.
That's got to be a challenge for you in ministry and also as being a parent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you think about, you know, I realize the older I get, you know, and the more I watch my sons grow, mm. I realize how important my role and my influence is in their life.
Yes.
And what happens now, the time that I spend with them now, how I invest in them now really determines in a lot of ways who they become in the world. You know, decisions, you know, their characters are being formed. They're learning to make decisions even now. And so it's a burden for me. I realize I'm almost overwhelmed by the thought of my role and what needs to happen. And when I look at the community and I see what's happening, I know that it's because it's a direct breakdown of that father figure in that child's life that helped to guide them in the way that they needed to go. And so, you know, I need it in my family, we need it in our church, and we need it in our communities. We need more positive male mentorship and role models.
So, well, a lot of them aren't going to church. I mean, that's a major issue.
Yeah.
If mama's not going,
yeah,
or no one connected to the family is going,
yeah,
there is no male.
Yeah.
Or no connection.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think that a lot of, you know, there's some negative stereotypes about church and what it means to be a Christian man, you know, a biblical man, you know what I mean? And I think redefining that, helping men in the community to see that a biblical man is a strong man. Amen. You know, Jesus went into the temple and he turned over the tables. He was not, so he was not a pushover. Right. You know what I mean? So I think there's a misconception about what a Christian man is.
Yeah.
And I think that needs to be redefined. And we need to do some more intentional things that's geared towards men and to talk about biblical manhood. You know? So,
or to see it every now
and
then.
And to see it every now and then. You know, to see it being modeled.
Yeah.
You know?
And X, I'm going to pull you into this particular area because I know you have a father. You're a father. And you're also a parent to your stepchildren and your own birth children. Seeing your presence in their life, I know, has impacted them greatly because you're present. What do you say about being present in their life?
It is something that I teach my sons and my stepsons because I am very fortunate to have had a father, had gotten to know at least one of, known both of my grandfathers. I had uncles, and I also had strong men that I saw in church that sort of allowed me to see what men sort of do in different areas. And so I had to reference that to say,
your mama had you in church.
Yeah, but at the same time, I was glad to see the pastor bring his young sons with him on this morning, because very easily he could have left them at home.
Sure.
But it's good for them to sort of just be in his midst.
Right.
Because you never know what it is that may rub off on them.
Right.
You just never know what those moments are. And I'm 48 now, and so I'm only now, because as manhood takes you in the cycles, so I'm only now, especially since I have a few grown children, meaning over 18, that I'm only now starting to see the difference in sort of the seeds that were planted early on.
Right.
That having been there.
That you had a hand in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because it later on, like now I'm drawing from the strength that of the men that were in my life earlier on, and I'm in my 40s now. Yeah. So it's not just being ever present for them at a young age, but allowing them as they go through the trials and tribulations. Like, let me put it back on me.
Yeah.
Going through the trials and tribulations in my life, I heard Pastor say that he left church for a while. Well, so did I. But it was God bringing back to the remembrance the men in my life that allowed me to say, you know what, there's something I'm doing wrong here.
Right.
The friends that I have are not exactly the friends I need here.
Right.
So where am I? Where can I go in my mind where there were decent friends, good friends, people that kept me out of trouble? Whoa, church. So and godly people. So God brings that back to your remembrance.
Yeah. And that's good if you go to church with good people that aren't going to be church.
Or wherever mentors.
Or church hurting you.
Or wherever mentors might be.
Yeah.
Wherever God has those people. Yeah.
Because that relationship, father, having a father active and busy in your life seems to be the real concrete for so many people. And I know your father is a strong presence, very strong.
Even to this day, to God be the glory. But I just want to say to them, I mean, to him, there's so many other young men who are looking at him just from afar. I mean, I say anything, but just looking and say, okay, that's how you do it. Or that's how it's done.
Sure.
Or that's how it should be. Because it's a new day. It's the family structure is so different now. So, you know, we sort of have to have compassion, because I remember, and I'll say this and I digress, one of my professors, Pastor Campbell, he used to say that back when he was growing up, and I think he was using himself as an example, he didn't say, but he talked about how a young woman in church got pregnant when she was a teenager, and the church shunned her because she had gotten pregnant out of wedlock.
Can I raise my hand on that? Because I get it.
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah. But then now that young man ends up being a prominent pastor,
right,
loving the Lord with a family of his own.
This church hurt.
And yeah, so we have to be careful how we sort of treat one another in terms of how we feel that kids should be raised in terms of a family structure. And instead, you know, someone came in and showed that young lady a lot of love. Showed her how to love herself and to be a parent and things of that nature. And as a result of that relationship, she was able to be the mother that she needed to be for her child. And the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah. Well, that turned out good. I mean, but, you know, that era, that prior to that era, when it was back in the 70s and stuff.
Come down to the front of the church and confess.
Right. When
you need
was,
to. Yeah, remember them days.
My family church didn't do that. Okay. Thank God they didn't do that. Okay.
Come down here and tell everybody what you did.
None of that. My mama said shotgun time, Jack. Okay. You shall marry my daughter. And there. But I'm just saying, you know, different scenarios and different situations have resulted from that. But that solid base, because I too grew up with a parent right there, and as solid as a rock, and had grandpas and uncles in the whole shebang neighborhood, small town. And but I took it for granted, and you know, it has blessed me tremendously now seeing it. But a lot of times when you're in it, you take stuff like that for granted until you grow up. As you said, who were the influences in your life, Pastor Reed?
Yeah, my stepfather was a very influential person. My mother didn't marry, obviously, my biological father. But over the years, just his presence in my home, how he related to my mother. And it's not until I got older where I really understood what it takes to love another man's son and to pour yourself into him. Right. And my father, he was definitely one of my influences at school, of course, different teachers.
Strong figures,
yeah. You know, even later, most of later in life, really when I went to college, that male influences became more strong. A lot of my college professors, you know, became very strong mentors for me. I have a cousin, Keith Burton, was a mentor. Gregory Allen, and then even this one pastor, John Nixon, just watching him preach from a distance really had a, how he lived, how he carried himself. So those people really had an impact from me, even though sometimes from afar, you know, just watching them. And a lot of them took the time to talk to me and get to know me, and that has been very beneficial, you know.
So is that what could be helpful to some of the troubled young people, you think?
Yeah, I think they need, we need somebody to take the time to take an interest in them. And spend time with them and hear them and understand what's going on with them.
Yeah.
That's what's needed, is relationship.
Yeah. Because they don't have time. They don't have any way of knowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know
somebody else to help me. I know that we're speaking spiritually, but I'd be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to my black teachers. I was just fortunate enough to have a couple of black teachers that just sort of just, my Lord, you know, at crucial third, fourth, or whatever, they just were just there.
Yeah.
And that is so much a part of your growing up, you know, having that educator there. That's what you do every day.
Yeah. Miss Togans. It's every time you said Aura instead of R, you had to come to the front of the class.
Right.
She pulled your hand back like this, and she had this ruler, and pap, it's R. Now say Aura again. I mean, little
stuff like that.
Don't you?
Say Aura again.
Never. It's drilled in your head. It's drilled. And, you know, I know that as an educator, as people are educators, male and female, they are sometimes, in some cases, the only person stable that a young person might have in their lives. Mm-hmm. How alarming has it been to hear about all the cars getting stolen and, you know, all the crimes that teenagers are committing in Nashville? Because some of this stuff is like daily.
Yeah.
That's going on.
Yeah.
And you raising sons.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's scary. It lets me know that as busy as I am, that I got to take some time with them. You know, and they want the time with me.
Yeah.
You know, and so when I hear that, it's like, oh man,
they want it. That's good.
Yeah.
So, until they become teenagers.
Until they, yeah. Then so even not, preteens, right. You know, I start to see. You know, Dad, don't do that. You know, so but. So I try to make that. I know there's going to come a point where they're going to want to. You know, so. Yeah.
Well, and then peers get more closer.
Yeah.
So that's a whole nother area right there.
Yeah.
Because that peer pressure is. Can be treacherous on some people. Anyway, this has been a good, interesting conversation with you.
Same here.
You have a very pleasant spirit about you. Mm-hmm. And you look so much like the Professor X. Can you hear me? You know Professor Watson downstairs on the second floor? Doesn't he look like him? They, you know, at first when you
they definitely resemble.
I know they got that baby face.
Yeah.
Professor Watson looks like a teenager.
He does.
And you know he's got teenagers.
And he's got a daughter
in college,
a son
right?
in college.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sophomore.
And you look just like
really?
Him.
Wow.
And I'm not telling him he's got a universal twin. Because every time I see him in the parking lot or walking down the hall. I think he's one of the students, you know. Yeah. like, what? You are not the teacher. Stop doing this. Anyway, tell the audience how they can find out more about Hillcrest Nashville.
You can visit our Facebook page, Hillcrest Nashville, on Facebook. You can also go to our website. And you can call us on our church number.
your administrative
assistant is in here helping
she's
me.
She's coming to your rescue. Wait a minute, come around. X, turn this one on right here. Tell them where.
Hi, just go to info at hillcrestnashville.org. That's where you can email us to find out any information, and we will get back with you ASAP.
Oh, and they do get back with you.
Do they?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
my admin is great. She is on top of things. She
on top
me
of
in line. Yeah.
That's why she's doing what she's doing. Now, and cut his mic on. Okay, son, come on. Now, you've been itching to say something. Don't be acting all shy.
Yeah, no.
Oh, he changed his mind because we're going to turn it on.
You going to say something, Landon?
What's your name?
Say your name.
My name is Landon.
And how did your dad do a great job today?
I think so.
Okay, tell me who this is.
What's your name?
Logan.
And did dad do a great job today?
Yes.
All right, come on here, son, because this one here is not working right now. Okay, what's your name? Are you the oldest?
Yes.
What's your name?
Luke.
Straight from the Bible, right, Daddy?
Yeah.
Okay. Did Daddy do a good job today?
Yes.
Did it make you proud of him?
Yes.
And so you passed.
Okay, yeah, I did.
If they give
me thumbs up, it's a good thing.
You pass.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much for getting up, rising early.
Hey, no problem. Thanks
to
for having
being
me.
With us here at WFSK. If you could do what I ask all my pastors to do at the close, and that is seal us up in a word of prayer, I would appreciate
it. Sure. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we come to you today because we recognize that you are the source of life. You provide for us everything that we need and that you are all sufficient. Lord, as we think and talk and pray about all of the challenges in the Nashville area, Lord, we give them to you and ask that you would give us a vision for what you would have us to do. Lord, we pray that you would put the people together that need to be together so that we can begin to address these issues. But Lord, we also want to pray for those who are listening today that may be experiencing a difficult time or a challenging time in their life. Lord, I pray that they would know that they are loved by you and that whatever the circumstance that they're experiencing, that you're with them, that you're working everything out according to your good. And so, Lord, may they be encouraged today in knowing that you love them and care for them. And so, Lord, we thank you for this radio show and the opportunity to spread light into our community. Continue to bless this ministry in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to leave you today with Proverbs 22, chapter 6, since I'm all in there. Mm-hmm. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I know we all can say amen on that one.
Amen.
For real.
Amen.
For real, for real.
Amen.
All right, Nashville, that's all. And I spell it A-L-L. I have for you today. You all have the very best of the best. And don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.